We'd like to invite Marilyn up, and Marilyn's going to do our Bible reading for us today.
The reading from Luke 4, 16 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Thanks, Marilyn. That's great. And today we're going to continue and complete the final of three series looking at this passage. So when I was with you in May, we had the first part. Last week we had the second, and today we're going to kind of bring it to a conclusion. And as we know, there's going to be a slide coming up shortly. As we know from previous weeks, Jesus had just returned from being tempted by the devil in the desert. Being filled with the Spirit, he goes to Galilee. And he goes to his hometown of Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And within that synagogue, where everyone knew him as being Mary and Joseph's son, they'd seen him grow up, he was invited to read from the prophet Isaiah. And the passage that he reads from is found in Isaiah chapter 61. And I'd encourage you, Isaiah 61, the whole of it is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, he reads a portion of it. But maybe in your own time this week, if you're able, have a look at the rest of it, because it's really quite a remarkable passage. And so he reads from this passage. And as we learnt last week, it was written about 700 years ago, 700 years before Christ, before he got up to read the passage. And it was written in a context when Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians. So they were living as slaves in the foreign land. And Isaiah is prophesying that actually ultimate redemption is going to come through this Messiah, through this Savior who would come. And in the previous weeks when we began exploring this passage, we were exploring kind of what the different parts of it mean. And so, for example, God's Spirit, the passage says, is given to bring good news to the poor. And we looked at what that meant within the context of Southend, where I'm ministering within 57 West. For those who missed it, 57 West is a new church which we started about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's predominantly working with people who are homeless or sleeping rough or very low-income households in Southend. And so we kind of explored what good news for the poor in that context would look like. But having said that, Southend is down the road. So what would it look like a little bit closer to home, perhaps in South Wooden Ferries? And so I've managed to convince Emma. She very kindly accepted, after a little bit of arm twisting from me, to kind of come up and share. I'm going to ask her just some questions about how this passage is relating to some of the ministry and the work that she is involved with. And so, Emma, if you'd like to come up and join me, that would be lovely. So first of all, the first question is, can you kind of tell us what you're doing at the schoolroom and the school?
Yeah, at school, I work at Elmwood Primary School, and I am now the family support worker at Elmwood. I started off as a teaching assistant in various classes, and my head teacher came in to me sort of first day back, and she said, "Well, actually, I told people that you're the family support worker now, so okay, that's fine." And so what we do now is we're finding out that we're working a lot with children, but actually realising that actually we can, all the work we can put in with the children is fine, but actually it's the parents we need to be working with as well. So I'm now working alongside parents as well, which is absolutely brilliant. And 2 years ago, actually near enough to the day, I was called as the community pastor for the schoolroom, which is in Woodham Ferris, and that is an emerging community cafe. We opened just before Christmas last year. So that is what is...
we might just need it to move on. This isn't working.
So that is what I'm doing the rest of it. There it is, the rest of the time. That building as a whole shouldn't actually work as a cafe. It really shouldn't. And everyone said, oh, I don't know if it'll work. But actually God is in it and God has done amazing things.
Brilliant. Yeah. And so thinking about the passage that we've been exploring the last week or so, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to bring good news to the poor. And I wonder, what does good news mean for the people within your context?
Yeah. I think good news in both places means hope. There is a freedom from things that oppress them. There's stress, marriage breakups, money worries, ill health, the general pressures of a changing society that is really difficult for some people to actually grasp. The list is actually endless. Lives are chaotic and messy, and they can be really lonely when you're in that situation. People are feeling their way through the dark just to get through each day, and in some cases, they're just feeling their way through each hour. And I have the opportunity to share the light of Christ so that they can see and offer to journey with them. And it's not about having all the answers or being able to fix the situations, because many times I can't. The problems are too big to fix. But my own life isn't sorted. And it's actually really good to say to them, well, actually, my life's not sorted either. But it's a real privilege and very humbling to be able to explore ways of living life differently with them. And their way of living life is very different. And I think, as you said last week, we actually learn from each other. And I learn a lot from the people that I work with at school and at the schoolroom. And that is really exciting, to actually, for them to show me a different way of living life and how they accept things and how they are with each other. And their openness to share about what's going on, that is just incredible. That they will sit down at, you know, at school or up there and just tell me what is going on in their life. And the openness is just amazing.
I mean, that's fascinating, because there's a sense of sometimes we think of the gospel being preached to others who don't yet know, which is very true. And yet in this context, actually, good news has been brought to Emma through the lives of the people that you're working with.
Yeah,
and that would be the same in my situation as well. Actually, you know, many of the rough sleepers, they show me what it means to be generous. They give out of their nothingness in a way that, you know, I can learn from. And actually, they, in some ways, through their lives, they preach good news to me. And it sounds similar in your situation.
I think one of the things I said to you before is I was chatting to them. I often chat to them about 57 West as well, because, you know, sometimes their lives are chaotic and messy. And actually, to actually say, you know, I've got a friend that does this. You know, it's not just us, and that's really encouraging. And then somebody said to me, oh, well, if I get any biscuits from the food bank, I'll give them to you and you can give them to Dan. But do you know what I mean? They've got nothing, but they see that passing on. And I know you've said similar stories, haven't you?
Absolutely. I know there was one guy who came into 57 West and he had just holes in his shoes. They were shredded. And one of his, the guys who was there, he didn't have a spare pair of shoes, but he took off his own shoes to give to the other guy. And I was just astounded, because, to be honest, I wouldn't have done that. And I just think this is what it means to follow Jesus. You know, it's amazing. And so Jesus, he explores, okay, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to bring good news to the poor, but also to bring freedom to those in captivity, and also recovery of sight to those who are blind. And I wonder, within your context, Emma, can you give us an example of how God has perhaps brought recovery of sight or a greater perspective of what God is doing in your context?
Through the transformation of the schoolroom, God has brought a recovery of sight to what the mission for that building should be. Now, the chapel itself wouldn't have been able to carry on if they hadn't have done something radical. It was an ageing congregation, and they were getting to the point of thinking that perhaps they couldn't actually go on. But actually, from them stepping out in faith and actually seeing things very differently, they've been able to have a new vision for their building. And it has shown us that God's plans are far bigger than ever we could imagine. And God keeps revealing new ways of reaching people. And we've learnt not to get in the way of what the Spirit is doing. And we are conscious not to shape how we feel comfortable with things. It's not what we want, it's actually what the people need that are coming in. And we listen with eagerness any time anyone says, I've got an idea. For us as individuals, we have a greater recovery of sight. And this has meant doing things different. It's meant total reliance on God. And often when we plan to do something, we always joke and say, well, we know it won't be like we are talking about now. And it never is. It's also taught us expectancy. Our life is one of expectation now and not a list of wants, which has really changed. And people actually want to be part of what we're doing, and that is amazing. They don't always connect with church on a Sunday morning, but they want to be part of what we are doing. I've been offered a horse, the use of a horse today, and also a ukulele group now. Just random things that come up. Another example was we've had the opportunity to hire soft play equipment. Actually, at the moment, we've only had two babies that have come in, but we decided that we would actually go forward and hire this equipment. And just over the last week, I've had 3 months with three new babies coming in, and that's just amazing.
That's lovely. Yeah. That's so lovely. And I think one of the things that you said was this idea of actually when we join in God's mission, sometimes our ideas can be different to God's ideas.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's lovely that you were offered a horse, but I just thinking about a horse, sometimes, you know, horses, that you know, when they were trained, they would have blinkers, wouldn't they? So they were trained to see in a certain way. And I know for me, when I started church planting in Southend, I had a very blinkered view about what it was going to look like, and yet God had quite a different perspective. He could see the whole picture. And it sounds similar in your situation in terms of, kind of just going with where God is leading.
Yeah. Oh, it is, absolutely. And even from right from the beginning when we started with the builders, it was very clear that we weren't in control of anything. You know, how the builders shared with us about their lives. And we had one builder that was going through quite a sticky marriage breakup, and I went up one Thursday with some biscuits, and one of his workmates came up to me and said, look, you need to go and speak to him. You know, and we just went and chatted, and he ended up praying. And it was just, you know, I was rushed that day, really rushed. I thought, oh, I've got to go out there and take the biscuits up. So I went up, and then actually God was like, you're here now, you're going to be here for at least 2 hours. So, but that's how it happens, and
And the ukulele band, how were you imagining them being kind of used in God's mission?
That was another story. The chapel have done things certain ways for quite a long time, and we've changed a lot, and there were some things that were still sort of as they used to be, and we sort of prayed about it, and one of them was luncheon club, with a different way of doing food now with them, which is working really well. And somebody said to me, oh, can we put a note up on the notice board about luncheon club? And I was thinking, oh, some of the people that come to the cafe see things very differently to how they run luncheon club. So I sort of prayed about it, and I thought, yeah, I will put the notice up. And I just sort of prayed and said, God, if this is of you, then you need to really reveal something very different. And with this list, we had 6 people put their names down. And they're actually a big group that have been coming in quite regularly to the cafe. And I did say to them, you know, it's a little bit different to the cafe, what you'd normally experience. I said, well, we do want to change things, but, you know, with new people coming in, we can change. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's fine, we're up for this. And I thought, oh, yeah, they're really up for it. And they were absolutely brilliant. We did a little questionnaire and put round to people what they wanted. And actually, people that had been there for a long time, they actually came up with very different ideas of what they wanted out of Luncheon Club. Mm. And then afterwards, somebody said to me, I've never actually asked what they want. And that was amazing. And this group, they stayed for the chat and everything else. And then at the end, they said to me, you never guess what we do. And I was like, oh, I don't know. So I said, oh, flower arranging or something. And they said, no, we're in a ukulele band. So they got on their phones, their ukulele clips, and they were actually really good. So they've offered to play at November's Luncheon Club.
Awesome.
So, but where that will lead. And then it also led on to a conversation with another lady that had been to church a long time ago and wandered away from God, and actually she said that the schoolroom had given her an opportunity to re-explore her faith.
That's great. So who knows where horses and ukulele bands will take you. And last week we were exploring the theme of how God brings recovery of sight to the blind. I might just go back a slide, thanks. And there was this sense of, to let the oppressed go free, and this sense of actually the oppressed are often people who are broken, and this idea of being shattered on the floor, almost like shattered pottery, and how sometimes it can feel like through the difficulties of life, it feels like our lives are kind of lying in pieces on the floor. And yet that passage, to let the oppressed go free, it means to let the broken go out, go free, but with a purpose. And this sense of actually going into the harvest field and being used by God for his purposes. So just this beautiful picture of God using broken people, which brings hope to me. It brings hope to the guys at 57 West. And I wonder, within your context, Emma, have you seen ways in which God has sent out or given a purpose to those among whom you're in community with?
Yeah, definitely. Firstly, I was a broken person that God has sent out. Life was a complicated mess for a variety of reasons, but that doesn't stop God, and he doesn't wait until life is sorted. And this has actually taught me not to write anyone off. No one is too broken to be used for furthering God's kingdom. And it's often through desperate times that reliance on God and a need to serve comes out. We've got a variety of people visiting, from young mums, people with dementia, mental health problems, who are lonely, stressed, illness, various things. And when we set the schoolroom up, one of the things we were collecting was different pottery, and we wanted little jugs. And the amount of people that cottoned on to this thing of little jugs, and now we have got an abundance of little jugs. But actually, each little jug represents a story. And it's somebody that somebody said, oh, quite a few people have been clearing out parents' houses, and these little jugs have actually, we'd like it to be used, so we know it's being used somewhere. They've really connected with that. And actually, the scorum has given people a focus, a place where they'll be welcomed, and it's a place where people feel comfortable. One lady has had a lot of ill health, but she's learned that she can serve God with the gifts that she's got. And she now relies on God fully to be able to serve the cafe in that way. And it's actually amazing. She can be in bed one day, but the next day, which is her cooking day, she can be up and doing this amazing cooking. And that is through God's giving her strength. And that has just released her in so many ways. She says she feels more positive. She feels that she's got more of a purpose to life. Yeah. And she wants to give, and you know, she likes blessing people in that way. And there's another couple that come up, and they've been released from loneliness. They speak about it quite openly, about how the schoolroom has changed their lives. Bob is a partially sighted veteran, war veteran, and Valerie has got various different illnesses, and getting out for them is really difficult. Bob is a big man, he's about 6'4", and he's big, and he's in a wheelchair, and Valerie is very small, and it's not easy for her to get him out of Woodham, really. So the schoolroom, she's been able to come each week. It took a few months for her to feel confident coming herself, but now she brings Bob, we help him out of the car, and she can wheel him in and they can sit there. But also, they can actually meet other people rather than just sitting in their lounge for days on end. They actually meet other people. And Bob actually, he does a lot of craft stuff, and he's actually been making our silk scarves to sell in the cafe, and that for him has given him a purpose to his life. And he's amazed that people keep buying them, but they are absolutely beautiful. You know, so that way as well. And also, we had the other Wednesday, we were really quiet, and I decided in the summer that I would actually learn to crochet, teach myself to crochet. I didn't know why, but I just thought, oh, I will, just because you do. And then actually, Sue, one of the helpers, who's not a Christian, she comes and helps, and she said, well, I'll teach you how to do squares. So we started off with these crochet squares, and it was like, what are we going to do with these squares? So I just said in passing, oh, perhaps Dan at 57 West might want to use it. I'll have to ask him. Well, they've taken that on, that's fine, that's what they're going to do. So Dan is going to be blessed with this blanket that people are making. But through that, it's people that are lonely are knitting these squares at home. I had a lady come in this week. She'd knitted a square each night. She'd had a difficult situation at home, and she said that had actually helped her something positive to do at the end of each day. So...
isn't that lovely? Yeah. And just the sense of actually everyone contributing a square, and you know, the community aspect of that, the conversations that emerge from that, and actually joining together in a purpose.
Yeah.
So we're going to eventually use this blanket at 57, and you'll probably see it lying on a chair, and I'm sure it'll be used in the winter to wrap people in. So that'll be awesome.
It did feel a bit like I was passing the buck of my problem.
So we might need to limit it to one or two.
To one,
That would be great. And today we're going to be kind of exploring the final part of this passage from Luke chapter 4. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We're going to unpack that a little bit, but first I just want to ask, Emma, what would it look like for God's favor or for his peace or his blessing to come in greater fullness in your situation?
That was, out of all the questions, that was the one that I've pondered on the most, and I thought, I really don't know. Then I sort of broke it down, actually, what does God's favour look like? Actually, it's about what we're doing and the people that are coming through each door. We really don't know each day when we open the door who will come in. We pray that God will send the people that he wants us to walk alongside that day, and he really does. We often find when I'm supposed to have a conversation with someone, it's quiet, which is amazing how often that happens. It's just quiet. The work we're doing shows people the values of the kingdom of God. It shows unconditional and non-judgmental love, and that everyone has a place in the kingdom of God. We don't turn anyone away. Everyone is welcome. And people speak a lot about feeling the peace, a feeling of peace when they walk in the door. And for us, we pray that people actually understand what that peace is that they're feeling, and that they want to explore it further, and that they'll have an ever-deepening relationship with Christ, and that they'll go on and share it with others as well. And actually, through all of that, that they will be released from the oppression and find the freedom that only Jesus can give them.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So. On that note, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Emma. That's brilliant. Isn't that encouraging? Hearing about what God is doing within this locality, and do continue praying for Emma and the schoolroom and the mission that is going on there. That's brilliant. We're going to move on a slide, and we're going to just spend a few minutes to look at what it means when Jesus says, actually, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And when we look at that phrase within the original language in the Greek, the sense of the year of the Lord's favour, God's favour, it can mean his pleasure, his welcome, and his acceptance. And actually, the sense of, Emma just shared about people finding welcome within the community that's there, and this place of acceptance, this place where people can find more of God's love and hope is very much about what it means to bring, for God's favor to kind of shine within that context. If we think of Jesus in this context, he's saying actually part of his mission is to proclaim this. And this sense of actually, part of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was doing through Jesus while he was on earth, was this prophetic announcing. So almost this sense of saying this world is not quite as it should be. We know God is working among us, and yet there's more that needs to come. There's more that needs to happen. And actually, for the church has been commissioned to bring about God's kingdom. When we read the Gospels, Jesus, he went around the countryside proclaiming about the coming kingdom. And also, if we remember John the Baptist as well, he was proclaiming this sense of God's kingdom to come. So what does God's kingdom look like? If we think of all the values of who God is, we know within Scripture that God is love, that God is hope, God is peace. And this sense of when we look at Jesus' life, when he interacted with people on the margins, he would, be going to those who were excluded and welcoming and including them. He would be interacting with the lepers and the prostitutes. He'd be going into situations that actually the religious leaders were saying, why are you doing this? This is not how religion should be. And yet Jesus had a completely different idea of what God's kingdom looks like. And so this sense of freedom. But what is freedom? It's freedom from poverty, from injustice, from people being oppressed. And then also in the Old Testament, we've got this beautiful idea of shalom and God's peace and God's abundant blessing coming. And if we remember with Abraham, Abraham was called and blessed by God to go and be a blessing to the nations. And actually, there's this sense of God choosing specific people throughout Scripture to bring about his favor and his pleasure and his welcome. So almost this sense of going, you know, and being blessed to be a blessing. And actually, as a church, we continue in that mission. We are blessed by God because God has given us the good news. He's brought freedom to us. He sends us out even though we're broken. He's brought recovery of sight to us, and he continues to do those things in our lives. And yet, God, you know, he's this God that invites others in. And so actually, as a church, you know, it's not enough for us just to be together. Although that's lovely and it's very comfortable, there's actually a very strong mandate within Scripture to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, and going into places that perhaps don't yet know about this invitation to abundant life. So whether it's going into Central South End and you know, working with very low-income households or homeless people, or whether it's going to the schoolroom just down the road here, there's this sense of joining in with what God is doing. And one of my favourite passages within Scripture is from John 10:10, and Jesus says, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life in abundance. And there's this sense of God's favour is this invitation to life in fullness. It's not about this ethereal kind of community that will emerge in heaven one day, which is in the distant future. Actually, God's kingdom is about bringing in kingdom values here and now into our society and bringing about more hope and love and peace. One of my favourite theologians is a Catholic theologian called Thomas Groom, and he writes, Jesus' proclamation of the kingdom is a proclamation of how human life ought to be lived. As the kingdom is a manifestation of God's love for us, we manifest the kingdom by loving God in our neighbour. Isn't that lovely? So actually, when Jesus was proclaiming God's coming kingdom, he was saying, this is how life should be lived. And actually, as we follow Jesus, we manifest or outwork God's kingdom by loving God in our neighbour. So actually, when we love our neighbour, we are loving God in that way. And actually, as disciples of Jesus, you know, one of the most important questions we need to be asking is, what does the kingdom of God mean for people within our community, for people that we rub shoulders with day to day, perhaps our neighbours? What does it mean for God's kingdom to come, for his pleasure, for his welcome, and his acceptance to come? And this is one of the questions that we're trying to figure out in Southend. And Pam Davies has just joined us at 57 West. She has just started training as a Baptist minister, and she'll be doing 3 days a week with us, and also 3 days a week over in Oxford at one of the Baptist colleges there. And so for her, part of joining in with bringing about God's kingdom is both training for ministry, but also serving the community of 57 West. And we're so excited that we're getting someone else on board to help, because it just means that we can continue to grow in the way that we have been. And it's been amazing how God has provided for this. You know, when we began talking about this, we, you know, the trustees, we were saying, well, we just don't have any money to be able to do this. And yet, a local family, they have offered to put her up in their house for free for 3 years. Isn't that lovely? Usually churches have to provide a manse, but as we know, they're incredibly expensive, and there's no way that we could do that. And then also she was from a church over in Surrey. She worked as a youth and kids worker. And actually the church over there have promised to support her during the 3 years that she's with us as well. Isn't it amazing how God provides? And actually, you know, sometimes it's just a case of saying, God, we believe you're in this. And we just need to step out in faith a little bit, even though it's incredibly scary. And we don't quite know where you're going. But actually, we know that you want to bring about your favour and your kingdom in this place. And as was prayed for, very lovely prayers today for 57 and moving premises. This is our new premises. So we're moving and sharing the building at Clarence Road Baptist Church. And so the part of the building you can see there is presently their lounge area. But we're going to be renting that part of the building, which is almost half of the building, and it will give us probably 3 times the space of what we've got now. And so we're just putting in new windows, and you can see there's a door that's just been installed as well, which will give off-street access into the premises. And so as we move location, you know, we're figuring out what does it mean for God's kingdom to come more in the lives of those with whom we're working. And the sense of how can this new place provide an opportunity for us to be a community of God's welcome, of God's favour and his hope within that situation. So just to encourage you, I wonder where God is going to take you. When I came to Southend 5 years ago, I'd got no idea I was going to end up going on this adventure. And, you know, it's exhausting, it's exciting, and it takes courage as well, and sometimes, you know, it feels knackering at the same time. But I just wonder, you know, as a church here in South Wood and Ferrets, you know, where is God leading you? You know, as we follow Jesus in his mission of bringing good news to the poor, of bringing freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to those who are blind, liberty to the oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour, what does that mean for us or you within this context? How exciting. You just think, you know, God is a God of endless possibilities. And actually to join in God's mission in this place is one of the most life-giving things that could happen for your community here. For me, in Southend, it's completely changed my life. Doing what I'm doing. I've learned so much from the people that I'm working with, and I'm a better follower of Jesus because of that. And I just wonder, as we join with God's mission, you know, the adventures that God takes us on. So that, to kind of end the whole of the series, is my kind of question for you here today. And actually, Jesus, you know, he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down and he said, actually, today in this place, this scripture has been fulfilled. He's the one that brings freedom. He's the one that brings recovery of sight. He's the one that proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. And as we follow him as Christians, we are invited to join him. Isaiah 61, it continues and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise in a spirit of despair. Isn't that lovely? Actually, Jesus came to do those things, and he sends us out to fulfill his mission in the world as well. Let's pray together. Loving God, we are so grateful for the stories that we read about how Jesus lived out his life. And we're so grateful that you are a God who brings hope and fullness of life and welcome and favor into our lives and into our communities. And we pray for Emma and the team at the schoolroom and the school, Lord. We pray that you would continue to bless them and lead them in your mission. And we pray also for the church here, Lord, that you would continue to reveal your plans and your purposes and the adventure that you want the church to continue going on. And so we thank you for the privilege it is to follow you and to join in with what you're doing. And so we commit these prayers and thoughts to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.